Spring has sprung at Freedom Mobile with unlimited data plans starting at just $50 a month. Spring on down to Freedom and spring into spring savings with, oh, I cannot read this. Who wrote this? Details at freedommobile.ca. Conditions apply.
Jody Vance in for Jill today, and this next story is fascinating. A local man, a man from Coquitlam named Dean Snyder, is one of those stories when we looked back at CERB, or even when we looked ahead when CERB was being rolled out, that eventually there'd be conflict and miscommunication or issues at some point. And boy, oh boy, did this laborer from Coquitlam ever find himself up to his eyeballs in it. Jensen Leung joins us, an associate at Samfiru Tumarkin LLP, represented Dean Snyder in his case against Riotech Construction. And Jensen, I wanted to try and lay out this story and set it up, but it's so complex. I'm going to need your help.
Well, I'm happy to. Thanks for having me. I guess the gist of it is really just that this is a situation where he was laid off and then he wasn't given any sort of termination pay or anything when he wasn't called back. It took me getting involved for him to get anything at all. And then and unfortunately, the company just chose to fight it all the way and then also to appeal it even after he was successful at trial. So as you noted, there was a lot of background to this, but essentially it's a situation where he had worked with them for 2.5 years, and the company took the position that despite that, number one, they were saying that they had a employment manual that would limit the amount that he was owed. And they also said as a fallback position that because he was, quote, just a laborer, he would not be entitled to any severance at all, even if the manual didn't apply. So thankfully, we were able to beat both of those things by showing that, number one, he had no idea that the manual was even going to be an issue when he first agreed to work with the company, and basically just gave it to him as part of his onboarding paperwork roughly a few days afterwards. So that, of course, wasn't good enough to make that enforceable. So thankfully, that didn't stick. And then right. And the judge, both at trial as well as during appeal, made it very clear that just because someone is in a lower position doesn't mean that they're any less valuable, and it doesn't mean that they're owed any less notice. So I think that was one of the key takeaways in this case.
Absolutely is. And we have interviewed folks from Samfiru Tumarkin LLP numerous occasions here on the program. We've talked to other employment lawyers as well. And the constant messaging is know your rights, know your rights. It doesn't matter where you are on the ladder of employment. Employment rights matter in this country. And reading this story in the Tri-City News, we got to give full props to that. It's laid out beautifully in the tricitynews.com if you want to have a read of that. But it's just how going through what Dean went through at the time this was happening, losing your job in a global pandemic, being laid off, getting zero support, and then, you know, signing up for CERB because you need to support yourself, your family, and then, you know, hopefully being brought back on board and then not having that opportunity and wrongful dismissal. You know, some might think, oh, you got fired for, you know, without cause. Well, what does that mean when you do a job like that? Without cause, termination is illegal without some compensation, is it not?
Well, yeah. So there's a So you're right to emphasize that the key is really that employers are allowed to terminate someone. But yes, the key is that in order to terminate them without cause, they need to give them proper notice. And a lot of times when what people don't realize is that beyond what's provided under the Employment Standards Act, which is based just their minimum entitlement, a lot of workers can be entitled to more than that, sometimes up to 2 years. And that's really the type of situation that happened here, where because there wasn't a contract limiting what Dean was owed, he was entitled to 4.5 months in this case.
Which is not an insignificant amount of money, but how much did he have to spend on court costs in order to get to this point, and how did that all play out? Because people worry about that when calling someone like yourself, Jensen. Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Jensen Leung, who's an associate at Semfiro Tumarkin LLP, employment lawyer. So when people are thinking, well, I can't afford it, I can't fight this. They're a big company.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it'll definitely depend on the individual case. There are some lawyers out there, like myself, who will sometimes be able to help people on a contingency arrangement, sometimes on a flat fee, and then sometimes on an hourly basis. It really depends on the individual case. But I think that in this case, really the main thing was just that neither Dean or I were willing to back down to a bully. And we just thought that it was really important to send a message that you can't treat workers like this, even that they are just, quote, just a laborer, because it's really a situation where every once in a while you do need to, as difficult as it is, these cases do need to be fought once in a while in order to make it so that employers understand they need to treat people fairly.
And treating people fairly in the end with this story in mind, Rio Tech Construction must be looking at themselves right now going, boy, we could have saved ourselves a lot of money had we just paid him what we should have to not have him come back. I mean, it's okay. You yeah. want to end the relationship, you want to terminate this employee, then here's the amount of notice you have to give, paid, so that they have the opportunity to find themselves alternate work. And it, you know, mm-hmm. this is not new. This shouldn't be difficult.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, and the ultimate irony in a lot of these types of situations, including Dean's and honestly a lot of people, is the fact that people's first reflex is not always to call a lawyer. Usually, they have to have been treated pretty unfairly to take that step in the first place. Mm. And yeah, like you said, it would have been a lot cheaper for them to, number one, not fight it twice, but also, number two, just to have paid him at least the minimum that he was owed in the first place, then who knows? He might not even have thought that he needed to call us.
Yeah, he might have just walked away. Now, when it comes to the CERB, did Dean have to pay that back?
Yeah, so in this type of situation, thankfully, it's just that it basically got deducted from the overall award that he would have gotten had the trial decision stood. Basically, the original trial decision was for 4.5 months compensation, but on appeal, it got reduced by the amount of CERB that he had received.
Right.
Now, in this case, thankfully, it still means that, Dean didn't come out empty-handed, thankfully, and the court at the appeal level did award costs to basically try and achieve some fairness and what costs are is basically just a contribution to a portion of his legal fees. So it's really just meant to recognize the fact that at the end of the day, he won. And because of that, he was owed at least some contribution towards those legal fees that he really shouldn't have had to incur in the first place. So thankfully it's not like he has to cough any additional amounts out to pay back CERB, but it's just unfortunate because this is a situation where I think that there was a unintended consequence with CERB where, employers had access to the employee, the emergency wage subsidy. Yeah. And that was really the measure that was meant to help companies. But now they're getting almost a double dip where, they're also getting to reduce the amount of severance that they pay to employees based on a program that was entirely meant to help just the workers serve. Now, as a lot of people have noted, there's all kinds of conflicting cases across Canada on this issue, and some have gone the way of deciding that there shouldn't be any deduction. Some, like some of the recent cases in British Columbia, have said that there should be. And right now, it's actually still up in the air because there's actually another case that our firm is working on where we're actually going to an appeal in order to try and argue that CERB should not be deducted from an award. So until we get that appeal decision, it'll still be up in the air, and it's really hard to say which way things will go.
We're so early in this, it's hard to have that precedent set, so we're waiting for that. Mm-hmm. Let's open up the phones. Jensen, you're okay to hang out, and obviously you're not going to be doling out legal advice, but as people are like wondering how to navigate or what to do, are you cool taking some calls here?
Yeah, of course. And like you said, the key caveat that any lawyer is always going to say is, I cannot give legal advice because it totally depends on the individual situation.
Jody Vance in for Jill Bennett. Interesting that my email is filling up, but the phone lines are not. People are a little nervous to talk about the subject, I think. It is a tenuous topic when you're having issues at work and you want to find out what your legal rights are. And Jensen Leung is with us, our associate at Samfiru Tumarkin LLP, employment lawyer. It's funny, we went right into employmentlawyer.com out of our last conversation. That was not a setup. That was just a fluke, which was quite interesting. We do have a relationship with your firm in that you're an advertiser on CKNW, but this particular conversation was very much by fluke as we were looking for somebody to speak on the case of Dean Snyder, the laborer from Coquitlam, who found himself in a case of wrongful dismissal, and then the settlement within the settlement incorporated having to sort of claw back the CERB as part of his payout. At the end of the day, though, I think it's safe to say, Jensen, that Dean ended up making off in a better situation had he not fought back against the construction company that had dismissed him without cause and without severance.
Yeah, I think that's certainly safe to say. And I think that a big part of it, too, is really just that in a situation where you're told repeatedly by a company that you aren't worth anything, it was very vindictive for him to have not one but two judges say, no, you are worth something. And I think that, if anything, that was probably the most valuable part of it for him.
Phone lines are open, 604-280-9898, *9898 is a free call on your cell. I do have a couple of emails, as I mentioned, and Jim says, how much notice must I give if I don't want to return to the workplace after working from home for the better part of 2 years?
Yeah, so generally speaking, I encourage people to give at least 2 weeks of notice. Sometimes, depending on their employment contracts, you might, and depending on the seniority of your position, you might need to give more notice than that. But at a minimum, I'd say you want to give at least 2 weeks, because otherwise, if you don't give sufficient notice and that causes damage to the business, then you might actually give your employer room to come after you for wrong recommendations.
Wow, that's good to note. 2 weeks is a good way to go. Let's go to the phone lines. Mike in White Rock, you're up first. Welcome to the show. What's your question for Jensen?
Thank you very much. This is a general question. Are you seeing a dramatic increase, given the volatile times in which we live and the 2 years we have ahead of us of volatility? Is there an increase in this type of action? And can you comment on your feel for the growth or loss of jobs in the economy? Are you seeing jobs being picked up, or are we seeing more and more people being laid off?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I think that during the last 2 years, we certainly have seen more wrongful dismissal cases coming through. I think that there's probably going to be a bit of that period over the next year or so of basically some people perhaps going to a lawyer now as opposed to when things first kicked off. At the end of the day, it's hard to say for sure whether this is a sign of the broader economy as a whole, because there's always a bit of a lag between when things are happening on the ground and when people are actually making these types of decisions to pursue cases, because you do generally have a 2 year time frame within which to start a civil case. So people don't always go to a lawyer right away, although I always tell them that the sooner you talk to a lawyer, the better it usually is. And I think that at the end of the day, everyone's kind of just waiting and seeing at this point in terms of where things will go next.
Making that call and getting that consultation is a great idea, just so you know what you should be collecting, what you should be looking out for, what you should be documenting. 604-280-9898 is the number to call. *9898, a free call on your cell. Sarah in Langley, welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I just have a question regarding back to work. I'm a relatively new employee at a union company, And the union has decided that all newer employees with 6 months of employment or less are 100% in the office, and all other employees are 50-50 remote. And I just kind of wondered if there's any, you know, legislation or guidance towards that, because just feel a little bit excluded, and just wondered if, you know, what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, so unfortunately, I don't deal with unionized workplaces at all, mostly because, the thing is, when you're unionized, everything is governed by your collective agreement, and basically the main thing really is going to be that if you have any sort of concerns about the approach that's being taken, then you're going to want to talk to your union rep about that. But because unionized workplaces are based their own, their own wheelhouse, really. Unfortunately, we can't really help with those, and we can't really get directly involved. Of course, the one area where we can usually help is actually on the long-term disability side, because a lot of people who are unionized will have access to long-term or short-term disability policies. And when you're cut off from an insurer, like I actually do disability law as well, and we do that at the firm.
Good note. And Sarah, really good question. That's something we might need to dig into a little bit more. That collective bargaining agreement piece is really quite something. Jensen, thank you for your time today and agreeing to sort of take the calls and navigate through and helping people with some hypotheticals, if you will. Certainly not doling out legal advice, just giving some giving some direction, we'll call it. We appreciate your time today.
Yeah, for sure. Happy to be here. Thanks.